The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Join the conversation, as the man said, 770-5633. It's going to be a swampier than ever. DC Swamp Update with Rick Manning. Had to talk about the Matt Gaetz taking himself out. Matt Gaetz out, Pam Bondi in, going for the attorney general position here. Now, Bondi appears to, of course, have great modifieds, and the Swamp, of course, is very happy, and which, of course, I guess easier to confirm, but is it a better choice? I don't know. I know that, yep, Trump loyalist, Pam Bondi's been working with him a long time, defended him in impeachment, certainly knows where the bodies are buried, has great chops, comes from Florida, friendly state, everything seems to be, you know, I mean, the holes in the Swiss cheese appear to be lining up, you know, as it were. But I don't know, there was just something about having Matt Gaetz in there swinging his Klingon batleth, you know, the big battle sword or something, back and forth, and cutting a bunch of deep state heads off, that for some reason felt more satisfying. I don't know, maybe it's because Matt Gaetz had the right enemies, all the right enemies on both sides of it. But Pam Bondi will probably be much easier to confirm. Will Pam Bondi be a better one? I don't know. Of course, I know under the traditional responsible way of evaluating candidates, yeah, that would be the case, that, you know, it would fit better, you know, a better fit, as it were. I don't know. We could talk about that if you wish. I think one of the best stories, though, that we have here is on Revolver.News. Now, Revolver.News is like mega news to the, I mean, it's just the site of QAnon, but they do a pretty good job. Darren does a pretty good job over on Revolver.News, but it's like, I mean, Trump could do something stupid and they'll still report it. It's a good news site, though. I really like it for the most part. But they're printing this morning, "We now know who killed the Gaetz nomination. It was a long shot, but we all held out hope that Matt Gaetz could beat the odds and become our next attorney general. Once again, though, the rhinos played their dirty games and eked out a victory. But don't worry, this setback is only temporary, because we're just getting started. The war is far from over," they say. "As we assess what happened and how this loss unfolded, one thing is crystal clear. The Gaetz nomination was killed by a fresh-faced rhino from the very same state that brought us one of the most infamous never-Trumpers in history." What state is that, you're asking at home? I know it's what you're asking. Utah. Yes, we finally got rid of Mitt Romney, but his replacement, John Curtis, just sank the nomination of one of the most powerful America First politicians we had. And the kicker is that Curtis was a Democrat who switched to being a Republican to get elected. In his own words, John Curtis proudly admits he's a uniparty puppet eager to work with the very people who have driven this country into the ground. This is a tweet from Curtis. "We wouldn't have this country without compromise. We wouldn't have the Constitution without compromise. Doesn't mean that compromise is good or bad. It just means that we've got to figure out how to work with people who have different opinions. It's an art, one that some may have forgotten, but many of us still value deeply. As I step into my role in the Senate, I'm committed to preserving that art and getting things done for Utah." Gosh, Curtis sounds like the kind of Republicans we, you know, are electing in the northern part of the state, that go there to reach across the aisle and lose gracefully. I don't know. Interesting stuff. But anyway, we'll talk with Rick about that here in the next few minutes. All right. Now then, some local news we have going on. Big story overnight. We had a school district employee in Eagle Point arrested for sex abuse. Now, the charges aren't related to what she did at the school district. So even though she was a school district employee, Amanda Rose Leonardo, a 38-year-old from Eagle Point, charged with three counts of third-degree sexual abuse, luring a minor, tampering with physical evidence, providing liquor to a person under the age of 21. She's in the Jackson County Jail right now. And the identified victims were of high school age. So we have a 38-year-old with being charged with sexual congress then with a minor. They're still looking for public assistance. If you have any information on this particular suspect, I guess the Jackson County Sheriff's looking to do this, but not connected with the school job this particular time. But still, she's in trouble nonetheless. Meanwhile, Daily Courier reporting, Chris Bristol actually reporting in Daily Courier, attendance at Oregon schools still well below pre-pandemic levels. In Medford, fully a third of all students in the school district last year were considered chronically absent from school. It was average for the state, hardly the worst rate in Southern Oregon. It was data just released by the Oregon Department of Education. Public school districts still struggling to correct a culture of skipping school that has plagued the efforts of educators. Ashland School District's attendance rate of 73% in 2023 to 2024 was the highest in Southern Oregon. So 73% attendance is the highest, just ahead of 72% in Grants Pass. Wow! Like more than a fourth of the students say, yeah, I'm not showing up. Eagle Point number 3 at 71%. Central Point next at 68%. Medford 66%. So you have one third of the kids in the Medford School District don't show up for class. Chronic absentee. Wow. I had no idea it was that bad. I don't know. Perhaps it has something to do with they don't think the education's worth it. I mean, they come up with all the interesting thing in the Daily Courier story. There seems to be, well, what we need is another program. We need another program to get the kiddos back in school. I remember being very concerned if we skipped school too long. I remember truant officers, don't you? Do they still have those or not? I don't know. Well, maybe this is why these kids aren't going to the school. This was sent to me the other day by a sharp-eyed listener. Resolution to amend school board association's bylaws regarding to the composition of the board of directors. This is the Oregon School Boards Association. So you have your school board, you know, your school board that goes and investigates your fellow school board members that are too worried about the kids' safety. Yeah, I'm talking about Michael Williams over in Medford 549C. But we have the Oregon School Board Association is actually above your local school board. They're like the association they all belong to. Whereas the Oregon LGBTQIA 2S Plus School Board Member Advisory Committee has been operating as an OSBA board-appointed advisory committee since September of 2023, has draft bylaws, has identified goals. Whereas the Oregon LGBTQIA 2S Plus School Board Member Advisory Committee is ready to elect officers of their leadership assembly. Okay, I'm going to go down the whole thing. Therefore, be it resolved by the OSBA Board of Directors that the proposed bylaws amendment designate an Oregon School Board Member Pride Caucus representative as a voting member of the OSBA Board of Directors and Legislative Policy Committee. So the School Board Association, which is setting policy for the lower school boards that are all worried about their schools not being all that well attended, because it means there's less money coming from the state, by the way. Remember that. They've decided that it is necessary, or at least they're trying. It appears to have happened. But we have a voting pride caucus. There is a pride caucus. The LGBTQ, turn your kid trans, too spirited, whatever the case might be. So we have a pride caucus voting member in the Oregon School Board Association in charge of setting policy. Now, that could have nothing to do with maybe parents saying, I'm taking my kid out. Could it? I don't know. Just raising the possibility. This is the Bill Maier Show at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You know, the school districts are kind of wondering, they're kind of like the Democrats after the election. Why aren't people loving us? I don't know.
Hi there. I'm Rick Schultz, the new GM at Rogue Valley Country Club. Being GM during our centennial celebration is an honor and a privilege, so I'd like to personally invite you to join our club. As a member, you're not just a customer, you're family. We have 27 pristine holes of golf, fantastic practice facilities, trained teaching instructors and programs for the entire family. there is no better golfing experience in the Valley. Along with golf, we have a complete fitness center, pool, indoor tennis and pickleball courts, as well as a sport court. Our sports center also has a miniature golf course, batting cage, and bocce ball courts. With multiple food and beverage options, there's a place and a menu for everybody. I encourage you to experience all that our club has to offer and to make some new memories with your family that will carry on for the next 100 years. Come see why we say, when you're here, your family. Find out more at rvcc.com or call us at 541-772-5965.
This holiday season, we're excited to offer our Best of Southern Oregon partners the exclusive Holiday 24 marketing program. From November 1st to January 31st, enjoy tailored Facebook campaigns and high-impact radio ads at partner-only prices. Maximize your brand exposure and make a big impact. Visit KMED.com and click on the Advertise Marketing tab to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. Don't miss out on this special holiday opportunity.
Imagine healthcare where people and technology work in harmony. Welcome to NextGen Healthcare, software that frees physicians and empowers patients. AI turns doctor-patient conversations into soap notes in seconds, saving up to 2 hours a day. Patients self-schedule online, increasing engagement and reducing staff stress. The joy of getting home on time. It's possible and easier than you think. Visit nextgen.com/radio to learn how.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
22 minutes after 6770-5633. By the way, there's been someone who's been calling on the line again and again and again. And the system, my phone system, hangs up on them because if you don't know, I just want to make sure that that you understand this, that to call the radio station and get on the show, you cannot have your caller ID blocked. If you have your caller ID blocked, the system will not let you through, okay? Now, the reason for this is that you just can't help it. If you run talk shows and things like that, you have the trolls that show up, people that want to snore, or they just want to interrupt, or they just want to hide behind it, and you can't do that. Just go ahead and unblock your caller ID, and then you can make it through. But then, on the other hand, if you're a troll, then I know who you are, you know, that kind of thing. So that's all. That's about it, you know, in all disclosure. All disclosure is what we have around here. If you don't block your caller ID, you can get on the show, all right? Unless you're Minor Dave. Minor Dave, you're banned from the show this morning. I'm just kidding, Dave. You know, Dave's going, what? What? I'm banned from the show? Actually, poor Dave, he's had a rough go of it over the last week between the house burning down. But I'm just really happy, though, that he's doing okay in his new temporary place from all accounts, and that the both cats that were living with him are doing okay, all right? Other news that we have this morning. Oregon Nurses Association, not able to reach a contract agreement there with Prov. It's considering all options after another bargaining session with Providence Medical Center. Two sides still at odds, the old deal between ONA and PMMC expiring March of this year. And I don't know, is there going to be a strike? We don't know. We don't know at this point. I know they're talking about doing more informational pickets. I know Prov was talking about a 20% pay raise, but even earlier in the year, they were talking about other raises, like a 28% pay raise, I thought, over a number of years. Wow. I got to tell you, you know, you get out of nursing school, go in there, and you work a $100,000 a year gig over at Prov. But yeah, I know there's a lot going on in these hospital systems these days, but well, we'll just have to see about that. Another piece of interesting news being reported now by Willamette Week, and it involves the possibility of a casino here in Medford. It's looking pretty good now. I don't know if this is a good thing, but the possibility of it being approved does look good. Willamette Week saying, in a decision that could have far-reaching implications for Oregon's delicately balanced gambling market, in other words, a state-balanced racket, the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs notified Oregon officials this week that it will issue a final environmental impact statement supporting the off-reservation casino for the Coquille Indian Tribe in Medford. Now, after it publishes the decision in the Federal Register, Bureau will open a 30-day public comment period, and after that, agency produces a final document, according to Willamette Week. And U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley told Willamette Week this week that it had received notification from the Bureau of Indian Affairs to issue that. And Senator Ron Wyden, Governor Tina Kotek, and Senator Merkley have all embracing the same position that Oregon leaders have taken for years. They'd prefer the status quo. Merkley tells Willamette Week, I'm disappointed by the Biden administration's decision to move the Coquill Indian Tribes Medford Casino application forward. Senator Wyden and I have opposed this application for years out of deep concern for the new and likely damaging gaming precedent it would set in the state. Now, sir, you know what? What does that mean? Does that mean more competition for the state lottery? Is that what that's about? I mean, it's a serious question. Yeah, the state doesn't make money from the gambling when the gambling takes over in Medford, I suppose. The one thing I will say is that at least the state lotto keeps a lot of restaurants and bars alive here in Southern Oregon that might otherwise not be able to do health insurance and provide benefits. I know that it does a pretty big deal for many of the restaurants that have the Keno machines and all that kind of stuff going on. So it appears to be setting up working on a path where decision makers 3,000 miles away spawn a gambling arms race, changing our state forever and thoughtlessly tossing out the longstanding agreements come to in Oregon by Oregonians that all tribes should share an equal opportunity at success rather than an endless effort of one-upmanship. Oh, no, 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 not when we're talking. Yeah, that's over. Yeah, that's over. It's going to be, I guess we're going to be seeing, we'll be Nevada probably within, what, 10 years? What do you think? Maybe the whole part about, I know this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory Thursday take. Maybe having the gambling casino in Medford is just part of that greater whole idea of you will own nothing and be happy, World Economic Forum type thing. You know, you have to have some dumb entertainment for the rubes so that they feel okay about their lives as they're sitting around waiting on, you know, for the next universal basic income check to come in. I don't know. I don't mind going to a casino. I go to a casino. I've done a little bit of gambling, but just a lot. But, you know, there are certainly people who have problems with it. But, yeah, is that what this is all about? Because I couldn't help but notice, okay, so we're going to have the Coquille Tribe Medford Casino. That'll probably be here then. And so you have a lot of money being, pumped out through that. A lot of Social Security benefits being funneled over to the Coquille Tribe. Of course, that's that way with any casino, right? Tribal or otherwise. And at the same time, another article in the Rogue Valley Times that does seem to kind of go down that you will own nothing and be happy. $50 million apartment project eyed for South Medford near South Stage Road. 240-unit apartment complex featuring a plaza area. You start building that next year near South Stage Road. Rogue Valley Times reporting it's undergoing Medford planning review. Could lead to the first phase of the development beginning in summer of 2025. Long-term dream for local developer Laz Ayala. The design of the apartments will be similar to the 62-unit Genesis apartments in downtown Medford. Been working on this vision for 25 years. Owns KDA Homes. South Stage property included in Medford's Urban Reserve more than 10 years ago, setting stage for development in that area. And Matt Brinkley with Green Top Planning. Remember he's former planner, City of Medford? Hey, Matt. I remember you, Matt. Now that you're working for the dark side again. First, you were working for the government dark side, then you went out. Okay, that's funny. Matt Brinkley, former city planner, with Greentop Planning Development Research, and the project will be built on 8 acres at the corner of Kings Highway and Honeybee Street, just south of another 150-lot KDA subdivision of mostly townhouses and a small number of single-family residences. Yeah, once again, you will own nothing and be happy, and you will have your gaming casino to be able to go and spend what's left, because you know, we wouldn't want you buying a house. Buying a house is not in the climate-friendly, equitable community kind of line. I don't know. I should have brought those stories up on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Yeah, you don't want anybody owning houses. Renting is the only housing that we want coming to Medford. I don't know. Anyway, good morning. Hi, who's this? It's Friday.
Good morning.
I'm Bill. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw.
Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. I couldn't help but think that when you said the terminology about game upmanship on the potential casino competition.
Yeah, yeah.
That basically just stunk about you can't do game upmanship because you can't have capitalism. You can't have competition between business entities. So what's so bad about capitalism?
Well, it comes right down to it. The gaming casinos are not pure capitalism, though. They are government-granted privileges, in essence.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
But it's competition. Competition in any business is a good thing. It controls costs.
Oh no. Competition in gaming and gambling is not good. You know why?
Tell me why.
It gets in the way of political donations from the tribes to most of Oregon's elected officers.
Right. And the owners of the Purple Parrot are going to lose money and everything else. We understand. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm a business owner. Competition is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I would be perfectly happy with all these gambling casinos. All I ask is that, can we all become members of a tribe? Can we just vote to put ourselves in the tribes? Because obviously, if you're in the tribe, you have way more privileges than being outside the tribe. Okay? What do you think?
Well, I think we have a senior politician in Congress in Washington that thinks she's so Indian-like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's all be Indians. Let's all be Indians. I'd love that.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, and I want my and I want my real fireworks back too. Okay, I want the real stuff. You know, if you can't blow off an arm, it's not a real firework. Okay, that's all.
Right.
I'm just having fun with you, Michael. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
Dave, you're not supposed to call today. You were banned from the show today.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay,
that's why I called in, anyways. So I wonder. One of my neighbors that lives actually in Klamath Falls come down here because he's checking the road out because he got calls from the fire department. He actually, his wife used to manage the HOA here that's voluntary. It's not mandatory. I'm not a member of it, but he came down and talked to me. He was looking at the road. And if,
Now the road's atrocious around the Iron Gate Estates. It's just atrocious.
Well,
it's horrible.
Well,
it's a hazard.
He just came in to see about Lakeview Road that's closed.
Yeah,
that they closed. Well, he said to if he found he's going to take pictures, and he would file a lawsuit and use my fire as an instant why that road should be open.
Absolutely. So there may be some good that came after or came out of you having lost everything, but try to find a ray of sunshine out of that, Dave. Thanks for the call. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's David.
David, what are you thinking?
Well, I think the whole notion of letting the tribes, you know, capitalize on a vice like gambling, I think it hurts them culturally to be involved in that business.
You do?
Like, imagine if you and me and people in our, what I call our culture, you know, if the government said, well, you know, you guys are disenfranchised in Southern Oregon, so we're going to let you manufacture crack and ship it down to whatever city has a crack epidemic at the time, right? Just for example, you know, we might make a lot of money, but it doesn't help us culturally or help our personal, you know, what you might call moral value.
Do you think that the state of Oregon truly cares about cultural and moral value?
No,
except for the LGBTQ community, they seem to like that
a
lot.
They are every little group that the state tries to help ends up being demeaned. You know, as it happens energetically, but no, they don't care about the. I mean, if you tell you know the people in power, hey, I'd like to go live in a teepee and eat out of the stream, they'd find, you know, they'd come harass you for camping. So the idea that they want any of these tribes living in any historically accurate ways is not probably accurate. I think the tribes are a useful tool in their bigger plans, like, you know, taking dams out and stuff. But I just think it demeans the tribe culturally to be involved in a vice like that.
I don't know. I think if you were to talk with most of the tribes themselves, they have been an incredible economic benefit for the tribes in their particular areas. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know,
so is selling drugs. I didn't say that. I said it demeans them.
I don't know if it's a pure moral equivalent. You know, between selling the crack. I don't know.
make a lot of money on other people's vices. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying, you know.
You're making money on the vice. Okay, all right, David. I appreciate the call, yeah. I'll roll it around my bean. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Morning, Bill. Bob in Medford.
Hey, Bob. What are you thinking?
Hey, I'm thinking you touched on a subject of give them bread and circuses. If you look that up, it goes back to Roman times.
And I would dare say that having a casino here is definitely part of the circus, along with the universal basic income bread, you know, that they want to get there, going. You know,
that's where we're at. Going back to Roman times, it hasn't changed. So I have your readers look up bread and circuses, and you'll see where the root cause of that is. So,
hey, have you noticed that most of the plans, though, for housing are still just apartments? They don't seem to they don't want anybody owning anything. Is it just me?
Yeah, that sucks. How about some basic home ownership? You know, it doesn't have to be a fancy house, but, you know, a working family, you know, both adults working in the household can pay for a two-bedroom apartment, but they can't build houses.
Well, we used to grow up in houses that were 800 to 1,000 feet in square footage, right? And now it's like we're thinking, what is the minimum daily adult requirement for a house supposed to be, what, 2,200 feet, square feet now? I mean, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Thank you, Bob. I'll take one more, and then we got to get ready. We got to get Rick on here for the D.C. Swamp Update. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Brian in the Applegate.
Brian, what's up in the Applegate, huh?
Hey, a couple things. I'm going down to work. I go to work. I pass the new state trooper shop every day. And they've got some blue monstrosity kind of artwork out in front of it. I'm just, like, curious. It looks like they took a couple, you know, the tic-tac, those things that you used to pick up with a little ball when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, they look like they put those together and melted them into this big blue monstrosity. And I'm just curious as to how much they spend for that. I guess it's artwork.
Artwork. I know there's a law that says there's a certain percentage of whatever construction costs are done. Is it like a percent or a half a percent or something? The actual percentage escapes me. And so that's a racket for bad artists to survive. Oh. It's kind of a support. It's a support system. It's the same reason why we have those three aluminum slabs that look like melted aluminum candy bars out in front of the Medford offices downtown. You know, same sort of thing. That's what they do. It's a racket. Okay.
And the other thing was my grandson goes to the high school up there in Columbia County.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with my daughter. I didn't know anything about it until I heard you talking about it on Monday. And I called her and I talked to her and she goes, yeah, it's a FUBAR thing that's going, it's like on its way to totally fouled up. And so,
okay. Is that the,
that's the high school that has the teachers that were arrested for sex abuse.
Yeah. Multiple.
St. Helens High School.
Yeah.
And it's just not, I mean, and they put the principal and the superintendent on paid administrative leave. And I mean, this has been going on, I guess they knew about it for 2 years, another guy for 4 years. They've got a coach up there that is the wrestling coach that takes showers with the guys after matches.
Huh. So you have an adult showering with 17-year-olds? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that's
18-year-olds?
Yeah. Huh. Okay. I'm trying to think. That does seem a little odd. Is that illegal? I mean, I don't know. You know, there are so many things that I consider odd that are absolutely illegal or that are absolutely legal. I don't know. What is the rule on that? Is there a law?
I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
You know, unless there's some sexual aspect to it, I don't know.
He requires that they take a shower and they don't wear anything. You know, you don't take a shower wearing anything, but he does.
He wears stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
He has like shorts on or something like that or whatever. You know.
Wonderful. Everything's okay then.
Yeah, you know what? It's just normal.
Okay.
Well,
yes, I know that if I was a young adult, I'd like to shower with young men too. All right. Just kidding. Yikes. Thanks for letting me know. Good to hear from you, by the way, too. 24/7.
Everyone deserves a fast and reliable connection. One that helps better their everyday through the things they value most. Friends and family, education and career. A connection that opens pathways to opportunity and builds roads to a better future. At Spectrum, we're committed to delivering just that every single day. Because with the right connection, anything is possible. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
Hi, this is Charlene at American Industrial Door. November is the traditional month of giving thanks. So on behalf of American Industrial Door, I would like to express ours. Our success starts with customers. We are blessed and honored to serve you. Second, our hardworking employees deserve our gratitude for accomplishing so much on a daily basis. Finally, we salute our retired and active military, our first responders, and all of you who work hard to make this country and the Rogue Valley great. So once again, thank you from American Industrial Door.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A local teacher has been arrested on sex abuse charges. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office says Amanda Leonardo worked for the Eagle Point School District. Although the charges are unrelated to her work at school, she's accused also of tampering with evidence and providing liquor to a person under 21. The victims have been identified as being high school age. Oregon's Environmental Quality Commission adopted a climate protection program Thursday, setting enforceable caps on greenhouse gas emissions from fossil fuels. The limits decline over time in an attempt to reduce emissions in Oregon by 50% in 10 years and 90% by 2050. It's expected to increase the cost for consumer utilities, fuel, and products. Providence Medford nurses are taking a strike vote in the near future after the latest bargaining session with hospital administration failed. The top issue for nurses is full retroactive pay or a bonus of $12,000. I'm Bill London, KMED.
Joel here for Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I've got two Joel specials and a 179 tax deduction update for you business owners. My first Joel special is a $344 a month payment on a new Ford F-150. Lease a new Ford F-150 for only $344 a month. My second Joel special is, well, for you Jeep drivers. Trade in that Jeep for a Ford Bronco Sport and you'll pay only $280 a month. Not a Jeep owner? Your payment only goes up a little bit more than the $280 a month. Now, if you're a business owner looking to take advantage of that 179 tax deduction for your and purchases, Butler Ford is your 179 headquarters. I've got 54 Super Duty trucks in stock that all qualify for the 179 deduction. Whether you want to lease or buy, come see me. I'll show you how it's done. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where you know you've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, and your 179 savings.
36-month leases from $6,250 to a sign on stock number 598.35, with sell price of $54,210, and $3,500 to a sign on stock number 598.50, with sell price of $31,777. After all rebates and discounts on approved credit through Ford Motor Financing, excludes tax, license, title, 250 dealer, dock, VC, dealer, details.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
It's the season of savings at Grange Co-op, just in time for Christmas. Get select Georgia Romeo boots for just $49.99 while supplies last. Enjoy 30% off men's and women's pants. Find the perfect gift with 25% off toys, games, and plush. Stay warm and dry this holiday season with 40% off select Carhartt Rain Defender sweatshirts. Plus, don't miss Yeti's lowest prices of the season. There's even more to see online. Visit GrangeCoop.com to check out all the great deals. Hurry in. The season of savings ends December 1st only at Grange Co-op. Achieving more together.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
It's 6:45.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. I'm not talking, let's go.
The D.C. Swamp Update, Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Wow. Just what a wild week here, Rick. And, of course, you were on hold, I guess, when we were talking about football coach showering with the guys. What did you think about that? Wasn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard? Well, there's many weird things to hear about.
Actually, no, it's not the weirdest thing I've ever heard, by a long shot. But I maybe think back to when I was in high school or college and playing football, and I was like, did that happen?
I'm trying to think if that happened when I was growing up, too. I can't bring it back.
I think it did.
Did it?
I think it did. Yeah, and it wasn't that. It was just, you know, everybody's naked. It's the locker room.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, the coaches are in the locker room. This isn't like, it's just the way it is. And, you know, you're walking around with a towel.
Yeah.
And
maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Now, I was not a football player, but, you know, I was one of those guys, though. I went, puberty for me was late. Okay. All right. And so for me, I was always horrified because, you know, I'm sitting there next to Chris Levine, who was shaving in kindergarten, you know? And it wasn't pleasant back in those days.
I've played college football 1 year and I was the worst player on the team. So let's just be clear. I was definitively the worst player on the team. I was playing center. I weighed 185. So you can guess that I was getting killed, but nonetheless, there was a dispute about something that happened on a team bus, and it divided along racial lines. And because our lockers were by numbers, and I was a 50 because I was an offensive lineman, I ended up over in with the 80s, which were the wide receivers, talking to them. And we were talking we were kind of yelling at each other. It wasn't anything, you know, aggressive, but it was just yelling at each other. We were just standing there naked yelling at each other about something that had happened on the team bus related to some drug use. And it was I remember the coach coming over and just going, what are you doing? And because I was the only white guy over there, and they thought there was going to be something bad to happen. It was like, no, guys are just being guys. You know, we're just in there, we're being teammates. We're not, there's nothing else there. We don't even notice that. It's like you're in a, you know, we're trying to come together as people are all bleeding and sweating in the same place, in the same field. And I don't understand, you know, and so consequently, a lot of times you can look at something and you can say, oh, it's that.
Uh-huh.
But in the reality, what it is a bunch of people who are trying to become one as a team.
To become a uniform when it comes right down to it, right?
To become a uniform and get all this stuff out. And I don't know what the circumstances were in terms of that situation. I just know that when you're in that kind of endeavor where you're literally putting every ounce of energy into a common purpose, there's going to be things that kind of cause, you know, that there's rough edges that have to come off. There's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of weird stuff that you read about when it comes to, like, you know, Greek and Roman history, right? You know, that sort of thing. Okay?
Exactly right.
We'll just leave it at that, all right? We'll just leave it at that.
Well, and I'm going to now equate it to, what we're doing in politics right now.
Okay.
Okay? Right now, you have that same thing happening with Republicans in the House, the Senate, and the incoming White House. Same exact kind of dynamic. Maybe they don't all have the same policy goal necessarily, but they all have the same goal of trying to get something done to make the country better. Mm-hmm. And you have the people who've been doing it the same way forever. 60% of the House Republicans are, you know, weren't there when Trump was president. Okay. So they weren't in the majority when Trump was president. Means they weren't there in the 2017 conference. So they're going to learn how to be in a majority with a president, and they don't know how to do that. And so you're going to have all this stuff coming together, and you have all these little fights and stuff that's going to happen. And the question is, can Speaker Johnson take his House Republicans and go get through all that kind of grit and grime and create a team? And so you're going to see a lot of bumps. You're going to see a lot – hopefully nobody naked. But you're going to see a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. And it's all about becoming a team to be able to get stuff done. It's becoming a fist rather than individual fingers. And so as we see the stuff that's going on and some of the stuff that's going to happen, the question is, will there be 218 Republicans who want to be a team? And if there are, they can get a lot of stuff done. If there aren't, they'll get nothing done.
So what has happened to the Freedom Caucus, who, you know, I actually like a lot of their point of view, but they have truly been, for lack of a better term, they've been disruptors, you know, on that process of team building.
Well, they
would
have
be fair?
Been disruptors. And mm-hmm. I would argue that with President Trump being with the presidency, they are going to be in a position to, hopefully say, okay, well, we're not just making a point now. We're actually trying to make a difference and bring them together so that they are pushing the envelope.
Because the House could actually pass something that will get signed in the White House, which would not happen during the Biden administration, right?
My recommendation to Speaker Johnson, and I'm going to write this up today, actually, and send it over to him, but the my recommendation to Speaker Johnson is going to be very simple. The House of Representatives used to be the House that pushed the envelope in terms of conservative policy. They would say, here's what we need to do, and they would set they would sort of attack the Overton window.
Okay? Yeah, they would shoot high. Okay, they would aim high.
And then the Senate, and many times the White House, but I don't know if this White House that'll be the case. But the Senate would then say, this is what we can actually, this is what we're willing to do. And the battle then was between the House aggressiveness and the Senate. What could you get compromised between the two, with the president mediating? And with this president mediating, assuming he gets a good legislative staff that actually agrees with the president's agenda, and I think he will, the mediation will come down to the Senate to push them further than they're willing to go, than they want to go. And so there will be opportunities to make significant reforms and change. But that opportunity only exists if the Republicans could put 218 votes together, and they're only going to have 220 or 221. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we're looking at. Maybe four vote majority. So they are going to be very thin. It is a, but that's what Johnson has to do. He has to try to push the Overton window as much as possible, with a conference that has a couple of members that were in pretty heavily Democrat districts. So it's going to be it's going to be difficult, but I would remind Speaker Johnson, and I'm going to do it in this note I sent him, that the way the Democrats got the Clinton tax bill through, the way the Democrats got Obamacare through, the way they've gotten every major change that they've done is by sacrificing their House majority. That's the way they've done it. They said, sorry, but we're going to do stuff.
We're going to get it done, and we will sacrifice the majority in the midterms to do it.
If we have to sacrifice the majority, mm-hmm. That's fine, because you know what? We have an overall objective to get done. And I'm hopeful that the Republicans will come around to the overall objective. Nobody wants to be the sacrificial lamb. You can promise them as much money as possible to try to get them reelected. But bottom line is, if you lose the House, if you don't do anything with the House majority,
there's no point in having a House majority if you don't.
Exactly right.
All right. So the plan then, you're going to suggest that you do the same thing that the Republicans do, the same thing the Democrats did. You band together, you whip them into shape. You get the stuff passed in the first 2 years, you may lose the majority in the midterms. And then that's the price you pay for actually doing something. That's the price you pay.
Well, the irony is,
okay.
That's exactly right. And historically speaking, the midterms are not kind to the president, the incumbent president's party.
Yeah.
And as a result, and when you have if you got 3-4 vote majority, it's almost impossible to envision a circumstance where you're going to win unless you managed to figure out a way to fix the federal campaign or election laws, and for specifically the voter registration laws, unless you figure out how to fix the federal voter registration laws. And if you can do that, then quite honestly, you get honest voter rolls. If you get honest voter rolls, then the Republicans can win a landslide now.
Yeah, exactly.
But no honest voter rolls are exactly what they are.
All right. Rick, let's flip over to Gates' nomination here. Gates out.
Yeah.
And and Bondi's in, and I don't know, maybe I'm just not thinking about this deeply enough, but there was something that was viscerally satisfying of a gorilla like Matt Gaetz running roughshod in the Department of Justice that for some reason Pam Bondi doesn't stir the same satisfaction. Am I just wrong, or am I just irrational about this? What are you thinking?
I'm just shocked that we can't find anybody who isn't from Florida, but that's a different story. The difference is we have Matt Gaetz, lots of YouTube videos of him eviscerating Christopher Wray. We have lots of YouTube videos of him standing up and fighting with McCarthy or whoever. And so he was a known quantity. You knew he was going to stand up, didn't care, and was going to fight like crazy. Pam Bondi doesn't have the same kind of profile, but remember, she was one of the people who defended Trump during the was part of his defense team during the.
And she has great chops. I don't think anyone's going to doubt her qualification.
And so she's tough. The question is, does she know enough about the inside operations to be able to actually get to where the bodies are buried? And that's going to come down, ultimately, I think her success is going to come down to who ends up becoming Deputy Assistant Attorney General and the number three person in the AG's office, maybe even solicitor and IG.
So that may be the more important pick, oddly enough, rather than, you know, on top of the AG, right?
I think those are always very important picks. And the people who I hear are lined up, I don't know these individuals. The people who I trust, who know, who are in this world, in the kind of DOJ world, tell me that the people who are lined up to be the number two and number three picks at DOJ are outstanding, as so much so that the thought was to get them confirmed first and then have them become the number two guy, become the acting. And all I can think is Rod Rosenstein and what a disaster Rod Rosenstein was. And I was assured by people that the people that those who were in line to get the number two and number three positions at DOJ are not Rod Rosenstein-like. So that's and have a similar commitment to cleaning up the mess.
Okay, very good.
So now, she should have, the key is she's going to have deputies who are going to know where the bodies are buried, and she's going to give the firepower and the ability to go out and explain it to the public and make the public facing case for restoring integrity of the Department of Justice.
Is there a case to be made that we'll know if she's a good pick or not if we see a lot of DOJ attorneys resign in the near future, in the coming weeks? What do you think? Will we see that with Bondi?
It would be nice. Viscerally, it'd be more satisfying if they were all fired and broad marched out. But
yeah,
if they quit, that's fine too. That means you can replace them without a legal fight. So it's one thing about lawyers. Lawyers rarely give you the easy way out. And these are all lawyers. So, and they know what their quote unquote rights are. And I guess if with the implementation of a new system for determining if people who are involved in policy can be moved out of those positions and fired if they're obstructing policy, it's called Schedule F. It's part of the, Trump's trying to change the civil service, create a civil service category to specifically deal with people who are there because of legal expertise, who last time spent that legal expertise expressly blocking Trump policy and blocking his regulations and leaking his regulations, or leaking fake regulations to cause trouble. And so he wants to be able to deal with those people, so he's administratively creating a separate category for them. So if they don't play ball, if they don't do their job, which is to, you know, if they don't do their job, they can be fired, essentially. So many of those DOJ attorneys may be in that category, at which point leaving makes more sense than getting fired. And getting fired with prejudice could cost you your pension. And one thing civil servants care more about than anything else is their pension.
The pension, yeah.
Been there for a while. So if you're in a position to be able to affect their pension and make their pension go away, there's a strong incentive for them, financial incentive for them to leave.
That would make sense. All right. Now, as far as Gaetz, I figured what was going on there, and maybe you give me your take before we take off here, Rick. I was figuring that what was really going on here is that as far as the accusations against him, that there was, quote, more to come, more to come. And I have to say, Gaetz has an amazingly thick skin and the ability to take lots of pressure and embarrassment. Okay, he has astounding capacity to do that. But I don't know if you read Revolver News. Revolver News thinks that it all came down to the Utah replacement for Mitt Romney, John Curtis. And that it was John Curtis that actually sank the nomination. What do you think?
I was told when John Curtis was got the Republican nomination that he was worse than Romney.
Uh-huh.
I've seen no evidence to the contrary.
Okay, we'll leave that alone. And what about Mitt, though? Was this a message from Mitt, too, that you don't get everything you want done? From Mitch, rather.
Yeah, well, this is a power play for Mitch McConnell. Ultimately, John Thune, the supposed new majority leader, has a massive problem. And his massive problem is he's either going to be majority leader or Mitt Romney's going to be majority leader. And just like Hakeem Jeffries on the House side had Nancy Pelosi constantly looking over his shoulder and manipulating things and doing all that kind of stuff, and he was minority leader kind of in name only. John Thune has to decide if he's the majority leader, if he's going to be the majority whip, and let McConnell just be majority leader behind the scenes. And it's going to be a real test of
Thune being the majority leader, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay. No, that's right. Thune was elected majority leader, but this vote, this Gates thing, put Mitch McConnell squarely in the front seat as who mm-hmm. the majority is leading the conference.
Yeah, who's the real boss? Who's the real boss of it all?
Who's the real boss?
Okay.
And that will be the biggest when we watch this Senate. I think that will be one of the biggest behind the scenes tales. Is Mitch McConnell? Is he going to fade gently into the night and go, you know, he's up for election. He's not going to run again, presumably in 2026. Is he going to fade gently into the night, or is he going to continue? Is he going to continue a war with Trump?
Yeah.
And I don't know what that answer is, but that's a problem for John Thune. Because if John Thune is not able to lead his conference, then he will fail as a majority leader. And it will be because Mitch McConnell doesn't let him do his job.
Great way to wrap that up. That's why we call it the D.C. Swamp Update, Rick. You'll be writing on this and a whole bunch more on DailyTorch.com.
Yep.
Take the weekend off.
Thanks,
okay?
That's not going to happen. It's a we're doing an update on Necessary Noise. So Star Parker and I. So I'm going to spend some quality time updating Necessary Noise.
All right, you do that.
It'll be fun.
Thanks again, my friend.
Okay,
we'll talk
care,
soon.
Buddy.